morning. Welcome in. It's WEEI Football Sunday with me, Arcan Mego, and not the newly engaged, congratulations, by the way, Chris Scheim, whose engagement present, I guess, was that he didn't have to do the show today on the season finale of one of the more difficult Patriot seasons in recent memory, I'd say, even more so than last year. A season that we're all very pleased to see come to an end. A season that if we had the opportunity, we probably would have taken out behind the barn like old Yeller a few weeks ago and not even let it come to this. But here we are, a locker room in turmoil, a coach on the hot seat, owners on the hot seat. I can't wait to see what they're doing today. I care more about what they show up in the owner's box today than I care about what happens on the field.
That's what I was thinking about last night.
Who cares about this game? I want to see what the Crafts are doing.
Watching the games last night, I was thinking they should do the old school picture-in-picture and just have an owner's suite camera on the broadcast the entire time. Even if it cuts out portions of the field of play that you can see, like, nobody cares. No one cares. We just want to see the reactions. We want to see who's taking notes. We want to see what the facial expressions are. That's what people would tune in for.
Yeah, I'm very interested in seeing how much or little of that they show. And that's going to be a big storyline, a big plot point today as the Patriots finish off their season against the B-team Buffalo Bills. The question remains how much of the B team or the A team we're going to see here from the Patriots today, certainly at the quarterback position. A lot of discussion about that. There's been a ton of talk about the media availability and things that were said here on this station over the course of the last 24 to 48 hours in regards to fans. And I'm interested in seeing how many of you show up today. I know it's very inexpensive. It's a very cheap get-in price, so you're looking for something to do on a freezing cold Sunday here on January 5th. You can go down there and get in for $30, $35, and I bet you that number's going to drop as the show goes on.
Bring your own paper bag to cover your head, too.
But I also understand if you heard Jelani Tavai tell you, hey, know your place, and said, you know what, my place is not at this game. My place is not going to be supporting this team. My place is I've been here with this team and this franchise for however long, and then you're spitting in my face like this, no thank you. And I'd be surprised up in the red seats anyway. I'd be surprised if even that area was full, you know, like the real expensive seat. Like, I'm thinking there's going to be, and that's the statement I think.
There was nobody in the red seats last week.
There was no one there.
I was there covering the game. Nobody in the red seats, ton of empty blue seats.
Yeah.
Has to be the most empty I've seen that stadium since the COVID year when I had to sit there and it was an empty stadium and it was very eerie and weird.
And that was without a player telling fans off. So there you go. Anyway, I'm Christian Arcan. That's Megan Ottolini. Dan Ball is in for Chris Scheim, who is on his way down there, I guess. Good to be on the morning show. You know, you get to hang out in the suite and watch this terrible, terrible season finally come to an end.
I've never worked with Dan before.
Oh, no.
Should first I, like,
time,
haze
the first
him?
Time
what do you think?
Well,
should
sure,
I
yeah.
treat him like I treat you, where make the little personal no. digs throughout his takes?
No one deserves it.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Like, I go for go
Dan,
for the low
Dan,
bar.
Dan, it gets old real fast.
Doesn't yeah. really. Yeah, that's really good to know.
I see, on this show, we don't get the dynamic of Arcan losing his mind and screaming at me, which I miss.
No, he saves that for Andy Hart in the afternoon now.
It's true. It's not personal. I scream at everybody. I'll be screaming at you today.
I like
Dan,
it.
Sure.
It gives
Perfect.
Energy.
Yeah, I get it.
The way you used to scream at Jones, it kept me alive.
Yeah, I have a short fuse. But you know what? It's not really a day for that, because I think we're all in agreement about what this team is and where we are and what the offseason should look like. I think, anyway. I don't know for sure, but I think we're all pretty ready for this to be over and the offseason to start and to see exactly what the Crafts are thinking and what they want to do, because that's, I think, as important, and this is as important of a crossroads as this team has had in a while. You keep this regime in place, you keep this coach, you keep this GM, you keep these coordinators, you keep it all together, I feel like you're going to get a revolt. Like, You'll see that carry into the next season. And I wonder if the Crafts are aware of that. I wonder if they sort of are picking up that vibe. They should be at this point. There's no reason why they should be thinking, you know, one more year this should these fans will be patient with us. They'll wait another year.
That's what fascinates me about the attendance today and just how empty it is, or just how loud the boos are. Is that the kind of thing that can get through to the Crafts and maybe show them the lesson that it seems like they haven't learned yet of,
right.
Hey, we need to make these sweeping changes, because so far, it doesn't seem like that set in.
Yeah, I think that's unfortunately the reality that we're looking at right now. Whenever stuff like this happens, I tend to lean and err on the side of, yeah, we'd like to see a big move. We'd like to see something dramatic. We'd like to see, for purposes of the show, and you get caught up in it when you're close to it like that, and you're doing a show every day, and you want, you know, some hot takes to talk about or whatever. But realistically, it doesn't go on like that very often. Every few years or so, you know, Bill gets fired, Brady Lee, things like that. But for the most part, it's status quo with the Crafts. They like to keep things familiar. They like to keep things in a way that is something they know and that they feel like they can control. And I think that with the Gerard Mayo situation in particular, that's the one I think we're all looking at the closest, right? Like Elliot Wolf or Alex Van Pelt or anybody else getting scapegoated could happen, certainly. But everybody's looking at the Gerard Mayo thing because that's tied into the Crafts more than all the other guys combined. That's their darling right there. That's their project. That's their whole identity sort of wrapped up in this head coach. And to bail on him after 1 year and for that to be the right thing to do PR-wise is going to be a tough pill for them to swallow as they continue to navigate a post-Brady and a post-Belichick era in the franchise. You know, I mean, that's impossible to do.
So when you say the right thing for them to navigate PR-wise, do you mean like what will get more favor with fans or what will make them look better or worse as stewards of the team?
I mean, comparing those two things, basically, like in terms of...
Well, but from like a PR perspective, what do you think is the better look for the Crafts? Because I actually
moving
think...
Moving on from Mayo.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think if you had...
But will they see it that way? I mean, they made this whole big thing about Mayo.
I think
being
even
their guy.
If you had asked like most media members or fans or other people around the league 6 or 7 weeks ago, like well before the bye, what would be a better look for the Crafts moving on from their handpicked successor after one season and having that be the first one and done coach after what a big fuss they made and being part of the Dynasty series that came out, or sticking with him and blowing up everything around him and saying, we just need to put a lot more support in that guy? I think everybody would have said the latter. Not everybody, but a lot of people would have said the latter. Like, you got to give this guy more room to grow. But the wheels came off so badly last week, and they were already wobbly. And I just, after that, after the bye and the way they came out against that Arizona team.
I still think that was the worst loss of the year. It was bad last week against the Chargers.
Last week was worse.
But Arizona, I think, after
last week was
two
ghastly.
Weeks to prepare, that was terrible.
I agree, but the way that
and
everybody...
Arizona's worse than the Chargers, too.
It also might have been like just because it was right before the Christmas holiday and everything, but the way everybody talked about Buffalo, that Buffalo game, they were competitive for a half. And the way that people talked about it, like Gerard Mayo had cemented himself as doing something, I'm like, this is a Patriots team that beat Buffalo at the end of the season, and the Crafts had already made up their minds at that point. Like, what are we talking about here? And so I look at it, I don't think the Crafts are going to move on. I think that they have too much invested in Mayo, both in terms of their personal tie, their pride of saying, we took our football team back and this is the biggest decision that we made and we believe in it and we just need to figure out stuff around it. I also just don't think they're going to put themselves in a situation where they bring in a new coaching staff and they want to pay this entire new coaching staff, especially if it's somebody like Mike Vrabel, who Mike Giardi told you guys in the afternoon show would command $15+ million, if not much more.
Yeah.
And then also pay out whatever contracts they're going to have to pay out from this.
I'm not sure I agree with Giardi, by the way.
Why so?
That seems very high.
Well,
isn't it
because it's like direct competition with the Jets?
Sure.
Who would shell out stupid money?
In the event that there's some kind of wild bidding war, but I also think if the Jets get the wind of the idea that Vrabel's just using them for leverage, they'll go hire Rex Ryan or somebody. Yeah, I mean, they're already talking to other people.
Ron Rivera.
I don't know, right. I don't know that they're so hung up on Mike Vrabel that they're going to drive the price up to $15 million for a guy who flamed out pretty bad in Tennessee a couple years ago. Like, you know, like that seems to me like, I feel like people really overrate Mike Vrabel around here. And the idea of him as the next head coach is something that a lot of people have just latched onto because he's a name that they know. I don't think he'd be a good fit here. I just don't. I don't want to entrust the future of Drake May to a guy like Mike Vrabel. He's a defensive-minded head coach. He's just another ex-linebacker that the owners like. Like, I feel like it's too similar to Mayo, not in the sense that they have the same resume or anything, but just philosophy-wise, Mike Vrabel's this hard-o defense guy. So you'd have to bring in whoever he wants for offensive coordinator. I'd rather have an offensive-minded head coach and then bring in someone like Vrabel to be defensive coordinator. Like, that's what I'd rather see.
So would your dream pick be Ben Johnson?
I'd like Ben Johnson a lot, yes. I'd like Kingsbury. I like Kellen Moore. If Daboll gets fired, you know, it's a guy I'd look at, even though he did used to be here. I don't really consider him a hardcore Bill guy, Daboll. I mean, he was part of the staff, but he went on and did things in other places.
Yeah,
so
it's not really where he came into his own.
I sort of agree with that. So yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about that. But that's the prototype I'm looking at. I'm looking at an offensive guy, head coaching experience in the past, even if it wasn't great, is something I'd also like there. And someone who's not super connected to this whole thing like that. I'd like to start fresh, and I'd like it to be with an offensive coach.
I think that's fair. I think to me the sexy pick of Ben Johnson and the idea of that, I'm probably more cautious about than other people. First of all, I just don't think any of this is going to happen. But if it was, if you do get to bring in a new head coach, I want someone who's going to come in with their own people. Like, I want somebody who's going to come in and you're not just putting that person in place, mm-hmm. and then you have to go out and interview a dozen offensive coordinators to get somebody who agrees to come in and work with that person. Like, and so I think with a Vrabel, maybe with the Kingsbury, I don't know. I don't know that much about like his connections, but I obviously love the job he's done with Jaden Daniels mm-hmm. with the Commanders this season. So he's, I think, earned a second shot at being a head coach. But I guess that goes to, I would not want to go from a rookie head coach to a rookie head coach. I'm not saying that that's an impossible thing to execute, especially if you get somebody who's ultra talented and has their own connections. I just think that's even a tougher pill for the Crafts to swallow.
I agree.
That they're going to give somebody else totally unattached to the Patriots a big shot when they just did that with Gerard Mayo but didn't fully support him. Like, logically, I just don't think they're going to make that move.
Logically, you're right. But I do think the big decision that they're going to have to make here is, if they blow everybody out, let's just say, like, hypothetically, if they're blowing everyone out, that includes Wolf, that includes Mayo and the whole coaching staff, are you going to restart from a GM-centric position or a head coach-centric position? Because you could hire a GM and say, all right, you're our guy, you're the football guru, you're going to hire the coach,
yeah,
and you're
going
to bring in the staff and
that's
all of that.
That's a great idea to me.
Isn't that how normal franchises usually yeah. work
it
when
is.
They're trying to build their staff?
But if you do that, I think that eliminates guys like Mike Vrabel, because Vrabel's not going to be like, okay, I'm this guy's bitch, you know? Like,
well,
I'm going to do whatever he
it
says.
It might actually,
you know,
be the other way around, where Vrabel would come in and bring his own front office personnel that he wants to work
with.
But he'd
be answering to the GM. Like, if you did it GM-centric, that's what I just said.
Yeah.
If you're doing a GM first and he hires the coach,
my feeling,
then
like,
that coach is going to have to answer to the GM.
I get that. My feeling is I actually just kind of want it out of the Kraft's hands. I think that they've shown through last offseason and this season that they are so out of practice with running a football business that I want somebody who comes in from either a ton of league experience or just a ton of experience there, whether it's somebody coming out of retirement. I know Tommy Kern has talked about having like a football operations czar or something. I don't know. If it's a head coach who wants to bring all of his own people in, including front office, great. If it's a front office person and it's the reverse scenario, I don't really care. I just want it to be football people running it, because this by committee thing this year has been a total disaster.
Yeah, it's been rough. By the way, sorry for that. I know it's early on a Sunday morning. I don't know why I said that. Anyways.
There's the emotion.
We have a lot to get to here. We have Mego's emotional roller coaster, which I'm excited to discuss because it involves Drake May and how much he should play, if he should play at all. We'll get to that question. We also have the normal gang here on our finale of WEEI Football Sunday. That includes Fitzy later on this hour. That includes Tommy Curran at the top of next hour. We'll also talk with Andy Hart, and we got keys from Wiggy. Not that he had to call in today. He actually remembered them on Friday, folks.
Good job,
it is
Wiggy.
A finale miracle here on WEEI. First, here's Dan Ball. He'll get you caught up on what's trending, and when we come back, it's Mego's emotional roller coaster.
All right. I'm nervous now. Dealing with me
is like a ride. All right, Thomas, what is this?
This is Love Roller Coaster by Mego.
It's Love Roller Coaster.
This is the one that was on the document.
On what document?
The Football Sunday document.
That was
Google Doc.
That was left for you by who?
Jacob, maybe.
Jacob?
I don't want to throw him under the bus.
Okay.
Turn it off. Turn it off.
Turn it off.
I'm scared of what's coming next.
Mims.
It says clean on the
Mims
title.
Was, this is why I'm hot, right? Wasn't that Mims? This is why I'm hot.
I'm 21. I have
no
clue.
Yeah, you have
Mims
no
is.
Idea. You don't know that. Mims,
yes,
I
it
think,
was.
Right?
Yeah.
That was This Is Why I'm High. I remember that song. I thought that was his only song. I didn't know he did.
This is why. This
love,
is why. This
a Love Roller Coaster version. If you could, please. Love Roller Coaster by the Ohio Players is the one we're looking for. And if you, while you're looking for that real quick, I'm glad this happened because now I can yell at a texter in the 781 who said, Arkin, you contradict yourself. Vrabel flamed out, but you want Daboll or Kingsbury. They both flamed out, too. Vrabel never coached under Belichick, and he's a leader. Unlike Mayo and Ben Johnson is sexy, but he's never been a head coach. You're flailing for ideas. The first thing I said, texter, was that I wanted an offensive-minded head coach. Mike Vrabel's not that. All the other stuff I kind of like about Mike Vrabel. I just don't like the idea that he is a defensive-minded guy, and the other things about him, you can apply to Daboll and Kingsbury and all that, absolutely. But the main thing that sort of sets it apart, if Vrabel was an offensive guy and all that other stuff was part of his baggage too, I would be like, yeah, hire Mike Vrabel. I'd want Vrabel here yesterday, but he's not. And I'm looking for a specific type, a very specific type right now of what I want in the head coach. If you would, Thomas. Oh, I thought he had it all cute. There we go. Thank you very much.
This is more what we're looking for.
This is what we were looking for, indeed. Although that was nice to go down memory lane with Mims there. Mego, what is the emotional polar coaster today?
Mims has not weighed in. My emotional polar coaster, if you want to check it out on Twitter, @Megan_Ottolini. Should Drake May play today? Pretty straightforward question. Three options. Yes, he's the starter. Yes, but just a half. No, sit him. No, sit him is winning with 65% of votes. 19% say yes, but just a half. 16% say yes, he's the starter. I'll just say for me, it's gotten to the point where this is annoying me because this feels like the most obvious decision in the world to me. Like, of course he should sit. Just sit the whole day.
He shouldn't have gone back into that Chargers.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can argue, okay, he had the independent neurologist look him over and he passed, and so he goes back in the game. Why was he in the game in the second half of the fourth quarter when you're down by 30 points? Like, when it was 37-7 and Herbert is yanked out on the other side, it's incredibly stupid.
Why did you even ask the independent neurologist after he, one, went to the blue tent, and then from the blue tent went to the locker room? At that point, it's over. You don't need the neurologist to come in. It's over. You're shut down for the day. We'll get you an appointment later on in the week or whenever we need to. This is over. You're not going back out there. I don't care what the neurologist says. That was ridiculous, I thought. That was a ridiculous decision.
So I don't really get what they've been doing with him this week, where when Jerod Mayo said on Wednesday, if he's healthy and ready to go, he'll play. And I immediately thought, if he's healthy, he's going to show up. I know this is like hindsight's 2020, but this is really how I felt in real time. I was like, if he pops up on the injury report with some stupid thing that's not related to a head injury at all, that's them leaving the door open. And of course, that very day, that's what happens. And that's what they've been doing all week. And I ask, what is the point? Like, what is the point of that? Everybody knows it's Drake May's team. He doesn't have to prove himself as a leader. He doesn't have to be some kind of example of toughness as the starter that he's going to go out and start in a meaningless game or play in a meaningless game. The upside to it is so incredibly minimal. And the upside to sitting him, seeing Joe Milton, you see if he has anything that would indicate that he could be an NFL backup here in the future when Jacoby Brissett's contract expires, or if he flashes something and you could trade him elsewhere and get a little nice something marginal back. And you got, of course, overall, the number one pick over everything. You got to lose. Like, I don't understand why they're playing the injury report game and leaving the door open whatsoever. What is the point of it?
I do not see one. I see no reason to put Drake May into this game at all. I don't think he needs to. I think I was okay with sitting him for the last month of the season, honestly. I mean, I felt like I've seen enough with Drake May. It was good he played in that Buffalo
game,
I'd say. In a good way, absolutely.
Well, I think that's the point that you were making, too, is he has proved himself. What more do you need to see from a skill perspective?
Right.
What more do you need to see that of all the terrible parts that you have on this roster, this is a building block, maybe one of two, maybe three that's on this roster. So I'm 100% with you in that there's nothing left that you need to see. And you want to do it for the sake of observation of Joe Milton? Let's see if we have something, fine. But we all know what the greater good is here. Why can't you just be consistent? It's another in a long line of contradictions in the Antonio Gibson, Ramondre Stevenson family of contradictions that seem to be part of the weekly practice for this group.
So how do you vote here? Yes, he's the starter. Yes, but just a half, or no, sit him?
Big no. Hell no, if I could say hell no.
I say no, sit him too.
Yeah.
And that's way in the lead right now. It's 65%, two-thirds of the vote, basically, are with us. No, sit him. That's what you said, too, Mega?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just sit him.
What if it was just like a series or two?
No,
like
what's the point? My question is, what's the point?
No point.
I was talking to Fitzy the other day, and he said, well, what if he wants to start some kind of streak like Josh Allen has now of starting games? And I'd say, I don't care. He's a rookie quarterback. There's much bigger things at stake than a little streak that you're starting. Like, that is really, to me, and to, I'm not saying that's like knock Fitzy whatsoever. I think he was just trying to come up with trying to come up with any reason that you would have him out there for a couple series or a half. And we all know that that's why Josh Allen is going to be out there.
Right.
In a similar way where you go, that's so pointless. Why are you doing that? Whatever. he's been in the league for several years now and hasn't won MVP yet and hasn't been in the Super Bowl. So I guess he's trying to come up with things that he can feel good about his legacy so far with.
Poor Fitzy, by the way. He's got to go to this tailgate today.
Yeah, he was just tweeting from it.
Brother.
Says stadium's pretty empty so far.
Not surprised at all. I would imagine it's like a funeral at that in those parking lots. And that sucks, man. I mean, that's, you know, even last year. Like, last year it was really bad weather in the finale. It was Jets game. It was really snowing, and it was just, you know, no one could make it. It was like an ice storm.
Everybody knew Bill was gone.
Right. Today, it's cold, but people are just out. You know, it's just bleep this. Like, I'm not going to this.
On the May conversation in the Polar Coaster, how far up do you think this decision goes? Is there anything to do with the Crafts want their heir apparent quarterback out there at the beginning for however many fans will be there? Is there anything to that? Again, this is grasping at straws just like Fitzy was trying to do, but I'm trying to find something. I wonder if there's a conversation that potentially happens there.
Ownership would be extremely stupid if they're more concerned with the attendance at the Week 18 game than the number one overall pick. And what they could do with that in the draft. Like, if that was a calculation at all, I'd be like, wow, somebody needs to, Jesus, take the wheel. This is bad.
You know what's going to be even worse for Fitzy today, by the way? When he has to, like, pump up the crowd in between plays.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's going to suck.
Fitzy has become, like, a sacrificial in between him and, what's the lovely young lady who's the team reporter?
Oh, Tamara Brown?
Tamara, yeah. Like, he and Tamara are up on the Jumbotron, and Tamara's like, finish the lyrics. And everybody's like, boo!
Fire mayo, fire
that,
wolf, sell
after
the team,
that tackle
boo!
By Tavai, fans, let's go!
I'm like, oh, man, you guys, like, you got a tough job at this point of this kind of season.
Fitzy should wear a Tavai jersey today.
He should.
Oh, my God.
That would be funny.
Oh, no, yeah.
That, no, he should
they
not
probably
do
don't
that.
Even sell those, right? Do they even sell Tavai? If they do,
I don't
they're
know,
probably,
like
probably
they
headed
do.
To the clearance rack here pretty soon if they do. But yeah, that should be interesting. What do you think? 617-779-7937. Should Drake May play at all today? Another reason why I'm voting no, along with the very good ones that you just had, you mentioned this a little bit, Mego, I want to see what Joe Milton looks like. Mm-hmm. I want to see him uncork one today. I have not had a lot of things to celebrate this year, except for the occasional nice throw by Drake May, or the occasional nice play on defense by Christian Gonzalez, a good return here and there by Marcus Jones, and Behringer's had a couple of good punts, and that's basically it. I mean, that's pretty much the entire season. That's all we've been able to watch. I want to see Bazooka Joe launch one. I want to see one go 80 yards in the air. I want to see launch codes today from Joe Milton. I don't want to see Jacoby Brissett. I know Thomas doesn't either because he doesn't want to have to cut up those highlights. I'm all in on seeing what Joe Milton looks like and seeing what this, because I didn't see preseason. You know, I wasn't out there for passing camp or any of that stuff. I heard a lot about it, but I want to see it. I want to see Joe Milton uncork a few today. That's all I want to see. That's all I care about.
I would love if we got out of Week 18 with some kind of, like, you know, Joe Milton puts up three stupid highlights that are all over. Like, whoa, look at the arm. This is not CGI, everyone. And it's on ESPN. And then there's a stupid conversation that someone at the national level who's very stupid puts out there, like, should the Patriots trade Drake May because they have Joe Milton? That's the kind of thing that I want to come out of this game.
You want Joe Milton to be so awesome today.
Well, no, just to have, like, three stupid, like, stupidly fun throws that it makes people go, well, maybe they should be developing this guy.
Do you probably, neither of you probably remember Michael Bishop. I know you don't, Mike, or Tom, because he was before you were born. But Drew Bledsoe's backup for years was this guy, Michael Bishop, who you rarely ever got to see. And he ended up in, like, the Arena League or something like that. But he was always in these commercials. There was these two stores in Downtown Crossing. One was called Hip Zeppy, and the other one, I forget what it was called. But they sold, like, throwback jerseys and, like, sneakers and stuff like that. And we used to go there after work and just blow all our money in these places. And Michael Bishop was in one of their commercials. And he was on, like, a boat with these rappers, and he was just, like, the best thing ever. And everybody loved Michael Bishop. He was just this, wherever he did, every time he showed up anywhere, it was, like, big applause when he was on the Jumbotron. People just loved Michael Bishop. Rarely got to see him, though.
It's the quintessential backup quarterback thing.
It's true.
Where everybody loves the backup.
Yeah, we just saw one of them playing last night, didn't we?
I got to say, honestly, sometimes I feel it when I, like, fill in for somebody here and I jump on and they're like, oh, Mego!
Yeah!
Oh, it's so good to see you. And I'm like, yeah, thank you.
Was Mims on that boat?
Mims? No, it was, I believe the guy's name was KT.
Okay.
He was a local guy. He was a Boston rapper named KT, which I think stood for Kill Attacked. It's weird, the stuff you remember.
Man, but, no,
yeah,
kidding.
It is, yeah.
What region of the country was Mims from as a rapper?
Mims.
Like,
good,
which kind of crew did he go with? Because I'm thinking, like, I could see Mims just kind of, like, retired, has a lovely suburban home in Atlanta with his family. And then
born and raised in New York City, man.
Oh, okay.
Washington so maybe, Heights.
I bet he's like in Westchester now.
Yeah. Could be. Like Greenwich, Connecticut, something
he's,
like that.
He's in
yeah.
Scarsdale. Mims.
He may be listening right now. Mims, if you're listening, and you have any thoughts on either your cover of Love Roller Coaster, which wasn't really a cover at all, or anything football related, if Mims is listening, 617-779.
Mr. Mims, hope you and your family have a lovely Sunday.
7937. Yes, a very happy new year to Mr. Mims. I think that's his, I think his name was like Joe Mims or Sean Mims or something like that.
Sean Maurice Mims.
Sean Maurice Mims. There
Look
you go.
At the stuff you remember.
617-779-7937. Let's go to your calls here, as I know a lot of you want to weigh in. It's the last chance to do so here before the offseason. Let's start with Jay in North Carolina, who has a very grim call screen line right here. It says, no hope for the Pats' future. Go ahead, Jay.
You blew my cover. I just want to give my New Year's resolution to Mego there. Dealing with your cohorts, why be nice to them if you don't have to be? But anyways, I enjoy your Fair. Show incredibly.
Thank you.
The thing is, I don't want to see another Mac Jones. As you said, sit Drake May, sit him down. He's proven himself. But the thing is, it's going to be another 2 years before the Patriots really build up or anything or even have a remote chance. The draft can only do so much. And there are diamonds in the rough, but Tom Brady's only come once around in a blue moon. But as I say, the draft is the key, and it's going to take a while. So just as I said, the Patriots, for those Patriots fans who are looking for the years of luster and glory, that ain't going to happen for a couple of years.
A couple of years might be more than that. I mean, it might be a while. I was looking at Drake May's record today. It's 2-9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's record at 2-9. How long until he has a record over 500?
Boy.
Like realistically. 2-9
with this front office?
2 years it should be.
You think?
Might even be 3.
Otherwise, you start getting into the zone where, wait, so Justin Herbert had a year where he popped, like, as a team.
Yeah, they were like 10-6,
And then they regressed in record-wise, and now he's here. Like, you need something to show. Not next year, because it's too much of a dumpster fire, but the year after that, I think you start looking at the record and saying, all right.
When are they going to be 500 again? Like, forget him. You know, he's already in a 7-game hole. When are the Patriots going to be a 500 team again? I think is a more pressing question, and that, you know, sort of applies to that. But that's, right? Like, we're down in a hole right now. The Patriots and the organization, everything is down, flat on their back.
You're the intro to the wire.
At this point. Basically, yes. I mean, yeah, this team is flat on its back right now. And it's going to be interesting to see how they pop back up. 617-779-7937. Gino's in the car. He's on the way to the game. Gino, T's and P's to you, sir. If you see Fitzy out there, give him a big hug for us, will you? Tell them it's going to be okay. What's on your mind?
I got you. Hey, I just want to say appreciate you guys this entire season, you know, filling us in and giving us your scoop on things.
Thank
and,
you,
you know, another thing is, you know, I just think that with Drake May, I think he just needs a number one receiver. And, you know, I want everyone to understand we do have hope. And I'm going to this game this reason to see if the Patriots organization can make the correct choice for their fans. Tank this game, let's get some draft capital, and keep going and try to build a future. And I appreciate you shouting out Hip Zeppy. That was an amazing store growing up for me on Blue Hill.
Yeah, I loved Hip Zeppy. Gino, real quick, where are you sitting? Because if you're at this game, there's a good chance you're going to get on TV. I don't think there's going to be a lot of people there. Where are you going to be sitting?
We're sitting in section, I think, 116.
116. Did you bring a paper bag to put over your face?
No. I'm a handsome gentleman, so,
right.
You know. I'll be on screen.
That's good.
All right, Gino, enjoy the game, and thank you for
humble
calling.
Humble too. Love that.
You don't hide the moneymaker.
No, definitely not. Although I think that would be a nice sort of statement today.
Who is that lady who got discovered as a model as a fan in the crowd? Her name was Brooke something. It was like very early 2000s. Do you remember she was at a game, and then she became like a magazine model? And her name was Brooke something.
The one who was Brooke Burke?
Yes.
Yeah, Brooke Burke. I remember her.
She was discovered,
yeah.
I believe, at a game, and she was on the Jumbotron, and an agency was just like, she's hot, let's sign her.
Brooke Burke, by the way, owned Maxim magazine. Which
that's
again,
what I mean. She became like she became one of those kind of people, and Gino could do that.
Gino could be the next Brooke Burke.
Yeah, don't put the paper bag on your head because you might get discovered. There's not going to be a lot of people getting up on the Jumbotron.
It's true.
Just make sure you're smiling and cheering and you can get up there and then maybe you'll be in Maxim.
Pamela Anderson, too. She was going to hockey games. She's Canadian. She was going to hockey games, and they put her on the Jumbotron at like a hockey game, and they're like, well, she's pretty hot. And
then she must have been very young at that point.
I saw this on the Hulu special about Pam and Tommy Lee. Okay. About her going to the hockey games and getting put on the set. Well, what, you didn't watch that?
No, I didn't.
I've watched every piece of content that has come out between Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee.
That was a good series, though. The Hulu one.
I thought it was very good.
Yeah, well done.
That weird scene where he was talking, it was, you know, that was that was weird. You know. But whatever. Anyway, 617-779-7937. David's in the car. Go ahead, David.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, you know, I'm a very positive person, but you got to be realistic. And unless this team, we will never, ever see what we've seen over the last 20 years. And right now, you have so major changes you have to make. Coaching staff, you got to wipe it out, bring in new coaching staff, new players. Drake May could be a key. Drake May could be another Mac Jones, for all we know. I know we're praising him, and we're seeing good stuff, but we have not seen nothing yet. We keep saying, let's get him a receiver. We need more than a receiver. We need offensive linemen. We need defense. This team is such upside down right now.
David, do you think he's better? Do you think he's better than Mac Jones? Do you think Drake May is better than Mac Jones or not?
First year, no.
No, you don't. Interesting. Statistically, you can make that argument. Statistically, you can make the argument that Jones had a better rookie year. I mean, that's just a fact.
Yeah, but that's like the difference between the eye test and reading a box score.
Right. The big difference, the major difference, is that before Mac Jones's rookie year, they went out and spent in free agency, and they brought in two pretty good tight ends. One of them didn't work out here, but they brought in you know, Hunter Henry. That's when he got here, along with Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar, who's gone now. But they tried, at the very least, they tried to go out there and surround their rookie quarterback with weapons to throw to. And then this year, they just said, "Nah, we don't have to do that. That's fine. We're good.
What a
we'll
concept.
Just draft Jalen Polk in the second round and bring in Austin Hooper." Who, by the way, Austin Hooper's the best signing that they made, which is pathetic. But here we are. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll keep the phone lines open for you here, as we do have a lot of guests to talk to, including our own Nick Fitzy Stevens, who will join us from what has got to be the saddest tailgate in the history of the NFL. That's coming up next. WEEI Football Sunday. We are moments away from talking with Nick Fitzy Stevens, who is live down at Gillette, a very quiet Gillette Stadium, from what I'm reading here on Twitter. Dead parking lot. Don't want to see that.
Can I say something?
I suppose you could.
While we're waiting for Fitzy, in relation to that last call from David, because I've been hearing this from time to time, and I think it's a mischaracterization where he says, like, we're never going to get what you had for 20 years. I don't think people are looking for another dynasty. I think they're just looking for you to be able to, like, sniff the playoffs. And it's been 5 years
competitive
since
football.
That.
I think people are looking for some upward momentum, and it's just you're not getting that now.
I just think that's a mischaracterization of what a lot of people are looking for.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think that it's easy to sort of say, well, you got the quarterback, and that's all you need. It's not all you need. You need much more than that. And I think this season is proof. It's good to have. You don't win without the quarterback, obviously, unless you're Nick Foles and the Eagles that 1 year. But, like, other than that, you don't win without the quarterback. And I think you have him. I think you do. I don't think he's Mac Jones, but I also don't know that that's for sure yet. I think a lot of people are very certain about it, and there's not – I don't have that same certainty, I guess, and maybe that's because of what I thought of May coming into the draft and all of that.
You haven't been won over by May?
I think that he's very good. I don't know for sure that he's going to be a superstar, Legion of the Promised Land type of guy here, but I don't know that that's necessarily based on him and what I'm seeing from him. I don't think he's getting better as the year goes on. I thought that Chargers game, he was not good. And it's tough to see a guy have his worst game of the year at the end of the season when he's a rookie. You know, I know there's the rookie wall and all that. But I didn't love what I saw from him in that Chargers game. I don't think we're going to see him today. I don't know. I mean, he's been fine. You haven't had one of those, oh my God, what an amazing performance type of games from him yet. But you also hadn't had one of those terrible ones. Last week was closer to the terrible one than it was to anything else.
I think, to me, the biggest difference when you're looking overall at him and Mac Jones in their rookie season, they're totally different quarterbacks to me. Like, it's so bizarre to me when there is an interception thrown or something, and people in the mentions on social media will be like, Mac Jones 2.0. I'm like, this is not the same kind of quarterback. Why are you watching the game? But I do think that a big difference when you can get excited about this quarterback is that Drake May has the capacity to bring you back into games. A lot of the games you're only in because of him, mm-hmm. and he also creates moments. Like some of these deep passes that he has to Kayshawn Booty, those are moments. Unfortunately, in a way, some of the same stuff that people very first got excited about Bailey Zappi about. But like Mac Jones never had that. Mac Jones was always very, when he was good for you guys, it was methodical, moving down the field, mm-hmm. like, you know, making the right reads, leaning on the run game.
Not necessarily big chunk plays and things.
Exactly. But he wasn't going to cost you the game in the same breath.
You can see Drake May uncork it and see, okay, if you put some structure around this, and not to mention the edge that he gives you by his legs, mm-hmm. you see, okay, if you put some structure around this, you know, you got a stew going.
Yeah. And it's been hard to evaluate Drake May in the same way it's been hard to evaluate Jerod Mayo this year, I think. It's such a bad roster. Like, you have players on all sides of the ball in every position group, really, who probably are borderline, if not NFL players. Like, that's been a problem all year long. That was a problem coming into the season, and that's been a problem that hasn't gone away. It's gotten worse as guys have gotten injured, and you have to go further and further down into practice squads and signing guys off the street and all that other stuff. I mean, that's been a reality of this season. It's been hard, I think, to really properly evaluate Drake May from that, but I do think, in general, with him, he's the guy. I think that's what I'm trying to say here, is that I do think he's the guy. I'm not 100% convinced yet, but I do think that, and I am leaning in that direction. But what my biggest fear was, and we've talked about this, Mike, we've talked about this every week, my biggest fear with him wasn't even so much him. It was, is this team an environment that a rookie quarterback can succeed in? Is this going to be an environment where he can grow and get better? And so far, the answer to the first question is definitely not. He's not succeeding in this. No one is. And the second question, is this where he can grow and get better? That remains to be seen.
I absolutely agree with that.
That remains to be seen.
I do. Maybe I just give him too much credit for not, like, completely drowning in how bad of a situation this is. And being the one guy. I kind of have three guys right now that I'll roll with next year, 100%. Mm-hmm. It's Drake May, it's Christian Gonzalez, and it's Jeremy Springer. Like, that's it. Yeah. That's pretty much, I'm like, everybody else can go. Those three, they're doing the right thing for the most part.
Yeah, I'd keep Marcus Jones to return kicks too.
I do love some Marcus Jones.
I like him.
We'll throw him in there.
Maybe not as much in the secondary, but you know, he was okay this year. John Jones had a tough year, but Gonzalez was very good. That's for sure. I'll tell you who's not having a good day today, and that's Nick Fitzy-Stevens. Is he just giving up on us? Is this it? Just football Sunday? I'm not even going to do this anymore.
I kind of picture Fitzy right now, just like laying starfish in the middle of the parking lot, just like, this is over for me.
What has my life become?
I can't believe I had to live through this kind of season again after the dynasty.
Yeah. there's Fitzy. There he is.
Nice. Right, sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Fitzy. 617-779-7937. I guess let's go to the phones then, since Fitzy's blowing us
up. Sure.
Paulie's in Dedham. Hi, Paulie.
Yeah, I've been crying all over my 6th championship banners for the past few years myself. Megan, I heard you're finally getting married. Did Peyton finally pop the question?
Thanks, Paulie. I got married last summer.
Yeah, that's Chris Scheim who just got engaged. But Mego's been married.
Oh, Scheim, I thought you were getting married, Mego.
Already married.
Breaking my heart. Okay. All right, I guess. Never mind. Let me move on. I missed
you
that.
You know,
one.
A lot of people could confuse Mego and Scheim. It's a very common mistake that people make. So don't worry about it, Paulie.
I was trying to mix up Mego with, Scheim with Swifty. That's what I'm starting to mix them up with. But anyway, I post this thing as a preseason game. I want to allow May to take a shot. I'll allow him two shots and finish it on a high note with a rhythmic drive. If he does it the first time, he gets the rest of the day off, and you put in Joe Milton, you back him up with Jacoby Brissett. As far as the coaching staff and the upper guard management is concerned, I take Mayo as the first thing I do and kick him upstairs to assistant general manager.
No, thank you. No, thank you. I don't think you can do that. I don't think that. Thank you for the call, Paulie, and Happy New Year.
What's a rhythmic drive?
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
I never heard that term. I like it.
That sounds like when, you know, couples are trying to get pregnant. They do the, like, rhythmic drive.
Rhythm is a dancer.
Yeah, something like that. I'm not sure. I know.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
The idea, and I've heard people say this with Jerod Mayo. Well, if you don't really want to fire him, then you get him out of the head coaching position and you reassign him somewhere else in the organization. I don't think there's any chance that works.
Who is he? Brad Stevens? Get out of here.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Here's the only way I think you can possibly split that baby. And that is if you do sort of what we talked about earlier, Mego, which is bring in a new GM and you tell the GM, hey, you got this job now, but to start off and to start off the year, Mayo's going to be your head coach. If it really goes south, you can fire him and bring in whoever you want, but he's going to be your head coach to start off.
This is your ultimate test.
Yeah, and if you can get something going here with this, we want to give him an opportunity with a real draft and, you know, some real talent on the field, and that's going to be your department. You're going to provide all of that. You're going to get the, you know, first overall pick or do whatever you do with that. You're going to spend $150 million and get all these free agents, and you're going to do that, and he's going to be the coach. We're going to give him another chance at it. If it starts off badly, he's fired, and you can take over. You bring in whoever you want. I think that's the only real way you can split that, and that involves not firing Mayo right now. It would be sometime next year, but I think that's it. You know, like there's no other way I see this really working out for him.
I feel like all these little tweaked ideas that we have about, oh, maybe you just remove the coordinators and bring in new coordinators. Maybe you do something different with the front office, give a different title. I understand that you don't want to blow it up again after having Bill Belichick leave last season, but I feel like we're so far beyond this. Like, does everyone see how bad it was last week? Did you see how bad it was against the Cardinals? Mm-hmm. Do you think they're going to make a meaningful turnaround next season with tweaks and adjustments and Alex Van Pelt walking? Like, ask yourself seriously. I feel like there needs to be some real introspection from the Crafts today, and I want the picture-in-picture introspection. You could maybe sell that to a sponsor. Here's the box suite introspection.
Bring in the John Boy lip readers to just have them, hey, this is what they're actually saying in the corner.
Dan Shaughnessy wrote this on Friday, and I agree with him a lot, but I certainly agreed with this one. He said, regrettably, I can pretty much guess how this is all going to go. Bob is going to send out his now annual letter of apology, telling fans they deserve better and promising a better product. The Crafts will feebly fire a coordinator or two. Bob will reluctantly take a few questions and announce that Jonathan is busy elsewhere at a very important corrugated cardboard meeting. Which, tremendous flourish at the end there. But I think that's right. Like, I hate to say it, but I think that's about as extreme as they get this offseason. And if it ends up falling on Alex Van Pelt, of all freaking people, if you want to blow out the whole staff and that includes Van Pelt, fine. If you're scapegoating Alex Van Pelt for this and trying to make it a referendum on him and the way that he called the offense, like, get the bleep out of here. That is ridiculous. That's a ridiculous way to scapegoat someone, and really the only coach I think who earned his paycheck this year. And he was the worst offense in the league. So that tells you a lot, right? I mean, that tells you a good amount. If the guy running the worst offense in the league was your best coach this year, that's a tough situation and not a good one to just scapegoat him for, because he had the worst defense, too. He had the worst everything. You suck.
Well, the difference being, yes, he ran the worst offense in the league, similar to how you had a very terrible defense, but every time that he stood in front of the media and every time we'd hear from him, there was accountability. There were concise answers. He'd at least sound like and Andy mentioned this earlier this week when he was talking to you. He sounded like a coach, if not a head coach. So that's the one main difference I personally see between a situation with Van Pelt and with Mayo is, they're both presiding over terrible, terrible teams and terrible offenses, but at least with Van Pelt, you know what you're going to get,
right,
and he's accountable to the fact that it's bad. Whereas Mayo, you have no idea what's going to come out of his mouth.
Yeah. Gerard Mayo, it's a roller coaster ride every single week.
Right.
And
which is entertaining.
It is. I'm sad that there's no more hits on the Greg Hill Show. Because whatever he says today, you can't walk it back. Like, this is his first real test. You can't walk it back today,
Gerard.
It's
just out there.
You're going to have to say and stand by what you say, and then that may be hanging over you for the entire offseason. Probably not. You're going to hear from him again, obviously. They do their year-end wrap-ups and stuff like that. But that Greg Hill spin zone damage control next morning thing, you're not getting that this week. 617-779-7937. We have heard from Fitzy. Let's talk to Fitzy at 11:20, right before inactives. How about that? All right, very good. Fitzy, who decided, I guess he does want to talk to us now, we'll talk to at 11:20. And coming up next, we'll talk with NBC Sports Boston's Tom E. Kern for the last time this season.